truly a good day. Amen. To come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we think about the many blessings that God has given us, the many chances that He has given us to get our lives in order, we need to be thankful. If you're here on this morning and you are not a child of God, we ask that you consider your ways. Consider when you will die. Well, we don't know the answer to that. But think about where you will spend your eternity, dying without Christ. Is a place that is described where the fire never burns out, is unquenched. A place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place that was prepared for Satan and his angels, but it will be the home of those of disobedience. As we think about those things, we need to think about every opportunity we have to get our lives in order. Amen. And we need to seize the moment. Scriptures teach us, as we have opportunity, to do good unto all men. I would like to put forth on this morning that we need to do right to self. We need to do the things that God will be pleased with. And as we think about our lives and we think about all that we go through, we need to stop and pause and ask ourselves, are we worried about the wrong things? There are many people that do. They worry about the wrong thing. They worry about him. They worry about her. Yet we need to be worried about self. We need to understand that if we lose focus on what God wants us to do, we will lose our souls. Amen. I'm talking about losing your life. For the Bible states that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. But if we die worrying about the wrong things, we will lose our souls. In the book of Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 through 30, once again. Now we ask the Lord for many things. We go to God in prayer and we ask Him for this, we ask Him for that. But what we fail to do is put all of our trust in Him. We fail to do those things. Now as Jesus on many occasions was doing what He do best, and that is to be about the Father's business, there are many people that want to get involved in His life, or wanted to get involved in His life, or wanted to test Him or to trust Him, but they wanted to make sure that it was Him, as Peter did here in the book of Matthew chapter 14. Now Peter asked a question, and Jesus gave him the answer. Lord, if it is you, if it's truly you, bid me to come out on the water. And he says there in verse 29, come, come. When Jesus says come, all we need to do is start moving in His direction. Don't worry about anything else. Just start moving in His direction. Don't worry about mama. Don't worry about daddy, sister, brother. Just start moving in His direction. We have many people today that do not come to Jesus because they're worried about somebody else. Amen. We need to get life in order. He said, come. So Peter got up out of the boat, or got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Yeah, I already told him to come. But he started worrying about the things that were around him. How many of us do that? We're on our way, but we get sidetracked. We start worrying about this, we start worrying about that, and we forget where we're supposed to be going because we have lost direction. We have taken our eyes off the prize. You go to the eye doctor, he says, focus on this. And right before he commits, before he finishes his test, you look away. He said, you didn't do what I asked you to do. Focus right here. Focus on that dot. Focus on this. And what? Where's the apple there? You remember in school when you took that little eye test? Where's the apple? On the table, off the table? A lot of us tried to fail that test on purpose, but now we need glasses. When you focus on Jesus, keep your eyes on him. Amen. Keep your eyes on the things that he is commanding you to do. But here's what happened here. When Peter not only asked him, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter got up. He went and he was walking on water. He took his eyes off him, worried about what was going on because this was a bad time for him to look at the waves of the sea. And he began to sink. It said, Jesus immediately, when he said, Lord, save me, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took him hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Oh, you a little faith. Why did you doubt? You asked me to bid you to come onto the water. I bidded you to come. You came and you was walking on it, but yet you took your eyes. When did you doubt that I was still Christ? When did you doubt? Let's look at some things as we talk about worrying. Worry is that's not the one. We don't want to read that. To give to anxiety or unease, to worry. Allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or troubles. How many of us do that? Man, I don't know what to do. Trust in God. Amen. That's enough, isn't it? Which way to go? The directions are right here. Go his way. Lord, direct my path, but yet you go everywhere but where the Lord wants you to go. I put all of my eggs in this basket here. He told me he would direct my path, why come you didn't look at his word? Why you didn't read the directions in order to know which way you're supposed to go? We need to understand that worry will get us nowhere. Worry will only cause us to have a whole lot of things happen in our lives. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. But pray. But pray. Do we have a problem with that? Do we have a problem with praying to God? Remember, I say from time to time, if you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. Here's the Bible right here for you. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer. You know what we find it easier to do? We find it easier to worry. And when we worry, we're going to have some problems. We're going to have doubt. We're going to have fear like Peter did. He began to worry and he began to sink. Fear about what was going on around him. Concern about everything but what he should have been concerned about. He was worried about the wrong thing. Sleepless nights. How many of you didn't get a good night's sleep last night because you were worried about some things? Worrying about something that you had no control over. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. How many of you have lost weight recently because you've been worried about some things? And worry causes you to lose weight. Yes, sir. Worrying causes you to gain weight. That's how people say, man, you look happy. You're putting on some pounds. They don't understand sometimes what's going on in your life. You've been worried about some things, so you've been spending a lot of time at the table instead of a lot of time on your knees. Right. Worry. Worry causes these things. hair loss. Brother Bush, we got a problem, don't we? Somebody may get the wrong idea. Well, that brother said, hair loss, you know, is a cause from worry. No, this was a cause from just hereditary. You know, several people in my family just bald-headed for no good reason. But it's like that. But worrying causes hair loss. You wake up in the morning, your pillow is full of hair, but you know, you had hair when you lay down, but when you woke up that next morning, all that hair is on your pillow. You still have some, but yet you're losing it slowly. Go rent the movie Steel Magnolias, I believe it is. Where that guy, he just had that dog worrying. That dog was losing his hair. Every time he shot that shotgun at those birds, the dog just got worried. So we got some people like that. They're worrying about things. They're hearing sounds, and they're worrying about those things. And they're just having this doubt, this fear, sleepless nights, weight loss, weight gain, hair loss, ulcers. Oh, man, drinking all this stuff. Pray. Breakdowns. Nervous breakdowns. Why? Oh, man, my children are running me crazy. Why are they running you crazy? One reason is because we don't train them the way we're supposed to. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Many times we want to be our children's friends, and when they start treating us like they treat their friends, we have nervous breakdowns. But you know what our children are doing? They're still doing what they want to do. They don't have any of these problems right here because they don't understand what worrying is all about. But this is something they may turn to. Drug use. Because they're worrying about some things. And here's one that many people never get over. High blood pressure. Man, my son, my daughter, my mama, my daddy, my teacher, my workers, my co-workers, all these people, man, they running me crazy. They got my blood pressure sky high. Now I got to take this blood pressure medicine. I can't get it under control because you're worrying about the wrong things. That's what it all boils down to. Worrying about the wrong things. We need to get into God's word, and we need to see what God's word say about worrying. This is not something that was made up. This comes from God's word. Facts about worrying. It causes physical pain. In the book of Psalm chapter 32 and the verse is 3. The book of Psalm chapter 32 and the verse is 3. We look at some people sometime and we wonder what's going on through their lives, or we look at the condition that they're in, and sometimes we may ask the wrong question or make the wrong statement. I need some of that what you have because it looks like it's doing you pretty good. Not necessarily. It could be a cause of worry. And we need to understand that God does not want us to worry. In the book of Psalm 32, let's start with verse 1 and come down to verse 3. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, for in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. When we keep things bottled up inside of us, it causes us to worry and it causes pain to us. People tell us, you feel much better if you just tell what's on your mind. A lot of times, you don't want to hear what's on people's minds. And a lot of times, instead of us holding these things in, we need to take them to God. And we need to talk to Him about what we're going through. And if we talk to Him, you can rest assured He's going to give you the answer that you need. You know where you're going to get that answer from? His Word. That's where you're going to get the answer from. Man may tell you what they want to. You go to the doctor and you tell them, you know, doc, I have all these problems right here. You can go back up and look at the list again and you can name about 4 or 5 of them that you're going through. He said, that's because of anxiety. That's because you're worrying about some things. Lord, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. That's just anxiety. Let it go. I can give you some medication for it, but let it go. You don't need to be worrying about those things. It causes physical pain. It causes us to lose focus. Again, we just read that in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 through 30. When we look around the things that's going on around us, it causes us to lose focus. We were coming home the other night, and there was 3 cars right 2 or 3 doors down from us on the side of the road, wrecked. And I'm quick to lose focus on that. Turn around, baby. Let's go back and see what's going on. You know what she told me the other night when I asked her to do that? She said, I'll tell you what I will do. I'll pull over and put you out and you can walk home. All I could think about, baby, you worried about the wrong thing. I'm going to sit right here. But she was kind enough to take me back around so I can get a double look and see what was going on. I was nosy. I was worried about the wrong thing. That wasn't none of my business. Wasn't none of my business at all. I still don't know what's going on. Nothing on the news. But you know what I'm not going to let it do? I'm not going to let it worry me to the point where I'm going to have sleepless nights. I'm not going to let it worry me to the point where my blood pressure is going to get high. I'm not going to let it worry me enough where I'm going to have to start taking something because I got stomach problems now. I'm not going to allow that to happen. I'm going to still focus on what I need to do. And that is to stay focused on God. Because there's work to be done. When we ask Him something, we need to trust in Him that He's going to give it to us. Worrying does not change anything. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It doesn't change anything. You know, we worry about things that we have no control over, and then we worry about things that are in our control. But, you know, instead of doing something, we just want to sit there and worry, worry, worry. I wonder how that problem is going to get fixed. You need to get up and do something. I wonder, where am I going to spend my eternity? You need to get up and do something, and that is to be obedient to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Let me get over here. Chapter 9, verse 10, Ecclesiastes. Here's what the Bible says. For those of you that are worried about something that's in your control, here's what the Bible says. Enjoy life with the... Is that right? Verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work of thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol. To which you're going. Nothing you can do in the grave. Nothing. You can't do anything once you're there. But as long as you're living, what you find to do, say, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Don't sit there and worry about it. Man, look at this. This needs to be done. I know how to do it. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend the rest of the day just looking at it and worrying about it. Fix it. Fix it. You go and look in the mirror and you see something that you need to fix, then you just, just walk away. If you do that, somebody sooner or later is going to tell you, hey, you got a problem right there. Oh, I saw that. Why didn't you fix it when you saw it? When you seen what you seen in the mirror, why you did not fix it? See, we need to fix the problems in our lives. We need to fix the things that we have control over. But worrying about it doesn't change anything. But we find it easier to worry. Much easier to worry than to do something about it. Stay focused on the goal. Philippians chapter 3. Stay focused on the goal. You know, many times we think about our past lives and they're just thinking about them. We want to go back and live them. You're worried about the wrong thing. Wonder what my friends are going to say when I go back home. I wonder what this person is going to say or that person is going to say. I wonder what the fellas are going to say when I don't show up at the club on Saturday night. I wonder what the ladies are going to show up when I don't come down on that corner and pick them up. I wonder what my drug dealer is going to say since I don't come by and see him anymore. Well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't have a drug dealer. Amen. You shouldn't have no drinking buddies. You shouldn't have no women on the side. You shouldn't have this. You shouldn't have that. We need to stay focused on the goal. Amen. You know what Paul did? Paul was focused. He didn't forget about, per se, those things that he used to do. But he forgot about them, if you can understand what I'm saying. I mean, he didn't go back and want to live those things. He wasn't like Lot's wife who looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. The Bible don't give a whole lot of detail about what she looked back on, but we know that God told him, you go forward. Don't look back. She did just the opposite and was turned into a pillar of salt. But what Paul says here in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, starting with verse 12 and down through verse 14. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing forward. I'm not going backwards. I'm pressing forward. I remember what I used to be. I remember what I used to do, but I'm pressing forward now. See, if we forget where we came from, we're bound to go back and live that life again. We cannot forget about the sin that we used to commit, because Paul told them in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 9, the lives in which they used to live. Verse 11, he says what? This is what we used to be. For such were some of you, but you were washed. He didn't want them to forget about what fornicators were. He didn't want them to forget about what a homosexual was. He didn't want them to forget about what those idolizers were. He did not want them to forget about those things, but he wanted them to realize that they were no longer living in that lifestyle. We need to remember those things. Quit worrying about what other people will say. I remember when you were this. I remember when you were that. Don't remember that. Remember who I am now. A child of God. One that understands what sin is all about. One that understands that I cannot go back and participate in sin and be pleasing to God. Stay focused on the goal. Move forward. That's what a prize is. The prize is in front of us, not behind us. Reason not to worry. We need some reasons not to worry, because, you know, you're telling me all of this, Brother Spencer, but give me some reasons why I should not worry. Give you the best reason, because there is a God. Amen. You're not going to see that scripture on here, but I just want you to know there is a God. He's the God that created the heavens and the earth in the very beginning. He's the God that told Noah to build an ark. He's the God that led his people through the Red Sea. He's the God that allowed his son Jesus to come and to be crucified, buried, and raised up on the third day to ascend into heaven. There is a God. So let's not worry. Let's not worry. Again, Philippians chapter 4 and the verses 6. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right here, it's a good reason not to worry, because we can pray to God, and it is not just that we can pray, but we're commanded to pray. Commanded not to worry. You want to go to hell? Keep worrying. I mentioned that in the first of the sermon, did I not? You can die worrying about something that you have no control over, or something that you have control over, and you can lose your soul. She said, is it that easy? You best better believe it's that easy, because this is a command. This is not a if I want to or if I don't want to. This is what God says. Do not worry. Do not worry. The book of Psalm 145 and the verse is 18. Psalm 145 in the verses 18. You know, the first time, I read it many a times about not worrying. Don't worry, but pray. But it all hit home one day when I got into my brother's truck and I saw something that I didn't think I should have seen, and I mentioned it to him, and you know what he told me? He said, man, you worried about the wrong thing. You are worried about the wrong thing. And when we hear people tell us we're worried about the wrong thing, you know what they're really saying? I know what I need to be doing. I know what I should be doing. I just don't want to do it. Just don't want to do it. Psalm 145 in the verses 18. How can we not worry? Give me a reason. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. That's why we shouldn't worry, because he's right there waiting on us. Waiting on us to get our lives in order. Waiting on us to turn to him. No, you done tried it every way but my way. You've been worrying about all these things. Now, quit worrying and trust in me. It's that simple. You know, we got people all the time, you know, talking about, you know, right now, they're getting ready to take their exams. Those college students and even some kids in regular school getting ready to take exams, and they're worried. I wonder what I'm going to make on that test. I wonder if I'm going to pass or fail that test. Here's what I wonder. I wonder, are you studying? If you study, you have no problem. You'll be able to pass that test. But no, we want to worry about those things. Trust in God. Trust in God. Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 7. Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 7. 55, verse 6 through 7. Those of you that are in the adult class, we're going to get there one day. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If we don't get there, hopefully you lived your life the way God wanted you to. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So what do you have to worry about? If you're in sin, well, yeah, you're going to worry. But when you're doing what you're supposed to, there's no need to worry. No need at all. No need at all. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I wonder, where am I going to get this from? I wonder, where am I going to get that from? Man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. You know, I got all these plans that I've made, and I wonder, am I going to be able to accomplish those things or not? What you need to be worried about, or what you need to be concerned about, is what are you doing right now? That's what you need to be concerned about. What you're doing right now. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Think about it. What is your life about? What is your life about? I wonder what I'm going to eat today. I wonder. Really what you're saying is I'm worried. I don't know where my next meal is coming from. We need to think about God. We need to think about what Jesus says in his word. Verse 31. Verse 31. He said, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He understands this. You know, think about this just for a moment. What did God do for Adam and Eve before he put them out of the garden? He knew that they were naked. He knew that they tried to sew together fig leaves, but what he saw wasn't enough. He made them coats of skin before he put them out in the garden. He knew that they needed to be clothed, and he clothed them. He'll do the same for us. He'll make a way. All we have to do is trust in him. Verse 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We have a lot to be concerned about right now. Wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. Wonder. I wonder if we're going to make it tomorrow. Wonder if we're going to make it the next minute. People are dying every second. If it's you and you're not who God wants you to be, you're not going to make it into heaven. So here's some reasons right here why we should not worry. But let's look at some ways to keep from worrying. Some ways to keep from worrying. Because I believe that when we find about what worry is, what worry causes, some people that were worried about things that shouldn't have been worried about, there's some reasons not to worry. Here's some ways right here to keep from worrying. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. I'm a child of God. You ain't worried about that? Why worry about it? I'm a child of God. You're not worried about dying? Why worry about it? I'm a child of God. You ain't worried about what he's going to say or what she's going to say? Fear not those that can kill the body. Fear not. The one you need to fear is the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. See, that's what we need to be fearing. But it's not worrying about that. Because Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, you know, here's the whole duty of man. Let us hear the whole conclusion. To fear God and to keep His commandments. Why? Because He's going to judge every deed that we've done. Every secret thing He's going to judge according to what we've done in this body. But again, don't worry about that. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Colossians 3:15. Then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Can we find something to be thankful for in whatever happens in our life? You know, Lord, I prayed about this situation, and here's the result that I got. But you know what? I'm still thankful. It wasn't what I prayed for, Lord, but I'm still thankful. At least I know You were listening to my prayer, and here's the results right here. It's something that's going to make me think about what I need to do, what my next move needs to be. And here's the answer again right here. We need to turn to God. We need to turn to His Word. We need to follow His direction. Amen. We need to take the lead as Jesus did. We need to follow His lead. He left us a great example on how we're supposed to be about the Father's business, how we're supposed to treat one another. He left us a great example how we're supposed to be thankful in whatever we do. Lord, not Your will, I mean, not my will, but Your will be done. That was Jesus' prayer when He was in the garden. Father, if it's Thy will, allow this cup to be removed from me. But not my will be done, but Your will be done. And when what happens, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. Don't worry about it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, not some things, but in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you in everything. But again, what do we find it easier to do? We find it easier to worry than to give thanks. That same breath that you're talking about worry and talking about the things that you're going through in this life, you can use that same breath to give God thanks. Mm-hmm. There's trouble in your life. You need to thank God. It could be worse. It could be better. But thank God that you're living and able to go through these things, able to overcome them in order to be pleasing to Him. Because there are some that, again, they've gone through troubles and they've died outside of Christ. There's others that have gone through troubles and have died in Christ. There's ones right now that are having trouble and they're worried about the troubles that they're going through because they think that, you know, all of that I went through back there, let me go back and just think about those things for a while. Those that are outside of Christ right now, thinking about, you know, when I get my life together, I'm coming to Christ. Nope. You worried about the wrong thing. Amen. You need to come to Christ in order to get your life together. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 22, verse 16, as Saul, being the great persecutor that he was, Ananias said to him, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. See, we need to understand what God's word says. And when we find out the understanding, we need to be obedient unto what He wants us to do. How many of you are worried about where you're going to spend your eternity? There's no in-between. There's only two places, heaven or hell. You know what hell is like because you read it in Scripture. If you believe in God's Word, you read what heaven is going to be like because you're reading in God's Word and you believe God's Word. Are you worried? Are you worried? Are you worried about if God is going to find you faithful or not? Are you worried? If so, you need to do a reevaluation on your life. You know what's coming up, right? The first of the year is coming up. You know how we do that self-examination every year? Nothing has changed. We need to go back and examine our ways. We need to go back and examine to see if we're doing what God wants us to do. The doctor's going to be calling you. He's going to be saying, hey, Mr. Cook, it's time for your checkup. Either three of y'all can put that in y'all memory bank, okay? Brother Butch Cook, Brother Thomas Cook, Brother Theodos Cook. If there's any other cooks here that's male, put it in your memory bank. There's a lot of us going to get that phone call for that examination. But you know who's call that we are not really thinking about? The call that God is going to do, the call that God is going to make when it's time for us to give up the ghost, when it's time for us to die,
Are we ready for that call? You know, we're prepared. You know, I got to go see the doctor. I got to do this. I got to do that. Should have been doing that. Think about what the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Because God is going to call us. We're going to die. But he says this, Jesus does, not everyone that said to me in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, we enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name and cast out demons in thy name and do many mighty works in thy name? And then will I declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Depart from me, you that do wicked things. Depart from me. We need to understand that there's not going to be a second chance come judgment. What are you worried about today? If you're worried, why are you worrying? Let's get our lives in order. If you're here, you're not a child of God, and you want to become one, come forth this morning, make the good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away in the watery grave, added to the body by the Lord himself. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. The Lord is waiting on you to come back. Don't worry about what your friends are going to say. Just come back. Don't worry about what other Christians are going to say. Just come back. And ask for forgiveness. Ask for prayers. As you stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.